today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
So many people, like in my age demographic, that got it the first date to watch movies that they hadn't seen since they were six. So it's like saying, I want Flight of the Navigator.
Flight of the Rally, though.
Oh,
nostalgia.
Yeah, you know what? Disney stuff
you
is
You can
really...
watch Fantasia.
I have Fantasia.
Now how much is it a month? How much is it a month?
$1 million.
I'll get $1 million, yeah.
I've had quite enough.
Maybe it's cold outside.
Please loosen these cuffs.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Am I going to get in trouble now for doing this?
I don't think so. Have you seen my new axe? Baby, it's cold outside. Feel this melting wax? Baby, it's cold outside.
I can't find anything. It's dark.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
All right, we've got a very quickie opening break here because in just a few minutes, joining us will be this guy, Bill O'Reilly. Bill's going to be joining us with a discussion of his book. Now, he's come on with all the killing books, and it's
right.
More like me talking to Bill O'Reilly, the celebrity. This time, it's going to be Bill O'Reilly and what he has to say about President Trump. And I have tons of questions, and I am very excited about this discussion. And I hope it doesn't go south because this discussion might get a little bit interesting.
Heated.
Because there's a lot to say, you know.
Yeah. He's a very opinionated fellow, this Bill O'Reilly.
Well, I am too.
We've had a good back and forth in the past.
No, you actually have.
No, look, I respect him coming on the show. I'm really chomping to talk to him about this book because, you know, it's very timely, obviously, with everything going on. And we live in interesting times. So we are going to do that. And then later on in the show, I have to confess, I peeked ahead and I did look at the results for football. So we're going to have to not only go over our last week's results.
Right.
Thumbs up. and then pick the ones for next week. And I don't know.
I have to change my process. I know that.
Well, you do. I mean, I talk about feast or famine. Yeah. I don't want to tip the hand. I just want to say that yesterday I planned to come in here and congratulate Michael's bus driver on an on-time arrival. But I got the vibe when I congratulated him that he wasn't all that happy about it.
Yeah.
Like he was unhappy that he had probably gotten up a little earlier. Today, right back on schedule, 15 minutes late, just as perky as he possibly could be. So
that
I'm just here. I'm not
going to
mention him by name anymore because he's the problem. That's what I do believe. He is the
problem. Does he have a standard sort of style of greeting for you? I mean, is he pleased to see you?
Like, hi-yo.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Or salutations.
I wouldn't describe it as pleased.
Hi, boss man.
But it's certainly cordial.
Okay.
And I'm sure that he doesn't get greetings from, you know, I'm the first guy.
That's right, you're the first stop. Yeah.
So I'm, you know, I'm nice to him, and he's nice. I say good morning, and I say have a nice weekend if it's Friday.
Right.
And, you know, it was fine.
It was fine.
Well, I was a little logy myself today, and I'm a little logy, to be perfectly honest with you, based on, you know, I took a month off of the imbibing, and last night we went to our happy place.
Oh,
and,
you're back on?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Back.
By the way,
back
got a
off.
Few pictures of it, Rob, that you'll enjoy.
Good.
So. Yeah, went to Iguanaria last night.
What's it like after a month off? I feel like we've all done that.
Not as good as it should be.
Right?
Not as good as it should be.
Really?
No.
I think you need
no.
3 months off, and then you're like, oh, this was fun.
Well, no, I was thinking that the month off would allow me to perhaps get more of an effect from the
destroying
alcohol.
The tolerance.
No.
No?
My liver, I think,
Mike,
just
you're
goes,
a professional.
Yep, here we go again.
Like, you're in the pros,
yeah.
So.
To be honest with you, I had three of them, and I would have thought. I would have thought that it would have been better.
You feel nothing.
Nothing.
Feel nothing.
You feel nothing.
Yeah.
I love
and
it.
And I've got some opiates from when I had my hip surgery.
But was there even like when it touched your lips, was there even like a,
The flavor was like, hello.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello, tequila, my old friend.
Yeah, that's good.
I've come to slurp you down again.
Was there any...
The buzz is not coming to my brain. What?
I'm sorry, the song was fantastic.
It was.
Thank you very much.
Was there any dramatic weight loss in that month? Excuse me. People have sorry.
No.
You see, Oscar loves drama. So we want to know if the weight loss was dramatic.
Well, because I've heard a lot of people like, I want to lose weight. Stop drinking.
Yeah.
No, you might as well wheel me out on the stage in Vegas, you know?
Okay.
I'm just going to come out and go.
You could start on the stage and we could like reveal you with a drop cloth, like a sculpture.
Yeah, like a Kiss concert.
Exactly. The big curtain falls and there you are.
Man, that's a show. That is a show.
It's a show.
Fantastic.
Show. Whoa, whoa.
In fact, Deidre, our manager at Iguanamia, who hangs out at the table and chats, that's another reason why it's our happy place. She went to see Kiss. And
really?
She's showing me. Cool. She had great video of the Kiss concert. And you've been to a Kiss concert, right, Rob?
I am not a great big Kiss fan, but it is one of the best.
It's an experience.
It's one of the best concerts I've ever been to.
I've heard a lot from my friends that, you know, especially in college, they used to go as younger men to, and they continue to do it yearly, like when they're on tour. And I still see their Facebook posts. It's the same enthusiasm as they did when they were in college.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For 75-year-old men.
Well, yeah, but the presentation. Who I'm not a Kiss fan. I will tell you,
right.
This is like it, right? Wasn't this their last tour?
This is the last tour.
Like
they've been doing a lot of last tours, but I think this might be the one.
If they come back again, I would maybe make an effort to go
you
see.
You can take a little Michael.
He wants to go. He loves Kiss. But I'd stay for about 15, 20 minutes. I'd love to see the opening and then go, okay, it's time to go.
Well, I mean, but they pepper the show with all the good things. Like I saw Gene Simmons fly. There was the spitting of blood. There was fire. They never lost my interest, even though I only know about five of their songs.
Well, I'm excited to, if they decide to have the farewell tour again.
Yes.
I might not. Are they expensive? Are they expensive tickets?
I think that they probably are competitively priced. That's probably
are they Eagles expensive?
No, they're not Eagles expensive. They're not McCartney expensive. Right. No.
Okay.
I would actually, let's pool our money, Mike, and maybe for next year's birthday, if that band Mini Kiss is still around, we can have them
the
come down
people?
To Fort Myers for your son's birthday party.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. All right. So if you're keeping track, opening the show, we do have to break because Bill O'Reilly's going to join us next.
Right.
And we have to keep track of the show. Bus driver late again?
Yes.
Kiss still performing great shows. Maybe they'll do it again. Mike O'Mara. Still fat. Thank you. Start the show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Now let's hit the road for Las Vegas.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Big Freaky International Hotel.
I hope that you're having an enjoyable stay here in Las Vegas, and also hope that you have been fortunate.
Running around the desert together in Las Vegas, looking for strippers and cocaine.
I made a deal with the casino owners to get their money back for them.
And are you ready to double-cross them?
Well, they're only going to pay me 30%.
You're going to give me 50%.
How about that ride in? I guess that's why they call it Sin City.
He torpedoed my casino. Muscled me out. Now he's going to blow it up next month to make way for some gaudy monstrosity.
In Las Vegas town, the sun's shining down while you give the roulette wheels a spin.
Hit blackjack now! Come on, hit me, man!
Hit me.
It's a bust! Las Vegas Fun Police, hand over your chips.
Ready? 22. Player boosts.
Well, you have been Mr. Las Vegas for as long as I can remember.
Clark, Wayne Newton.
Oh.
Wayne has invited us to Shenandoah tomorrow for lunch and festivities.
That's my home.
Peacocks and black swans strolled the ground.
You know, I may hit a lucky streak and win this casino. It could happen, you know. The whole joint could be mine.
Viva Elvis. Viva and Margaret.
Viva the excitement when these two let themselves go on a wild and woolly whirl through Funtown, USA.
Vegas was tailor-made for Elvis, who liked to sleep all day and party all night, with a little help from his friendly doctors.
So I'll be going back here during the show and drinking. Whoa. Because it's so dry here in Las Vegas, singers have what they call the Vegas throat. That's when you get real hoarse. You know, like
this
that.
Isn't the real Caesar's Palace, is it?
What do you mean?
Did Caesar live here?
No.
I turn them on in Vegas.
That's what you get for waking up in Vegas.
I love Vegas every moment.
In the casino, the cardinal rule is to keep them playing and keep them coming back. The longer they play, the more they lose. In the end, we get it all.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We are live from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, the Mike O'Mara Show. TMOS to our friends, getting ready for our big pilgrimage to our 10th anniversary spectacular in Las Vegas, Nevada. From Lakeview, Oregon to Marysville, Washington, Sunrise Beach, Missouri, to Churchville, New York, Atwater, California, to Kingston, Jamaica, the Mike O'Mara Show, on now and brought to you by Cornerstone. Listen to some wisdom from Cornerstone. If you want to predict the future, you don't need a magic gate ball. Oh. Just rely on solid economic indicators, science. Right now, economists believe the housing market is entering a golden period. For the first time since World War II, we have mortgage rates below 4%, while at the same time, the unemployment rate is also below 4%. That's a golden period that will stimulate activity, as we expect sub-4% mortgage rates and sub-4% unemployment through at least the end of 2020. You don't want to be left out of this golden period. Home appreciation is up, and tappable equity is at an all-time high. Rates are at record low, and with Cornerstone's offer to meet or beat any competitor, this golden period is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Call my friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221, or check out the web, cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial, personal attention from application to closing,
and
we thank you. All right, Bill's ready to call.
His office
now,
is called in. They're patching him through in one moment.
Very good. This is the new book, and it's going to be a lot of fun to talk to him about the United States of Trump, how the president really sees America, and I look forward to talking to him about it.
You know, it's weird. When we first booked him, there was sort of a hesitancy because, you know, sort of diametric opposition politically. But this is his third appearance, and I think he really enjoys coming on the show. So I like the fact that we have sort of a relationship with the guy.
Well, you know, we'll see how that goes. And I think he knows. I mean, I've interviewed Bill O'Reilly back on the days when he was on WJFK for a short period.
Oh, that's right.
Timing couldn't be better for this book, by the way.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's a lot of access that he has. And what's going on?
Just
checking.
He's the padding.
Just checking
the
web.
Most,
what?
They're padding for him to patch in. He's wrapping up another interview. He's on now, Mike. Yes.
Bill O'Reilly joins us, author of 15 number one bestsellers, and of all the times we have had Bill O'Reilly on the show, this is the one I've been looking forward to the most, because this is as timely as it gets, the United States of Trump, how the president really sees America. Bill, thanks for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show again. We appreciate it.
Sure, Mike, anytime.
I have to ask you, do you want to hear what I love about the book and what I hate about the book? And
sure,
we can just start.
Ahead.
We can start with that. What I love about the book is, in one word, access. From Air Force One to an interview with Don Jr., you go right to the source, and you had tremendous access. And I don't know whether you still do have that access. But,
yeah, I saw him yesterday, Veterans Day, Monday.
Okay. And let's talk about that. I think that's what separates this book from a lot of books that have been written about the president, that you got to sit down and you did ask him very, very difficult questions. And as you describe in the book, that's not something that he relishes doing. He's not introspective. He doesn't like to do that.
Right. Donald Trump is a guy I've known for 30 years, and I think he trusts that I'm not going to try to hurt him. But he knows that when I sit down for an interview and we're doing a major radio interview on November 25th, first one he's ever done for my program, The O'Reilly Update, which is heard on 200 stations across the country. But he knows that by answering my questions, it helps him, makes him a real person. But you're right, Mike. He didn't want to. He's not a high school reunion kind of guy. He's not looking back. So when I'm asking him about, okay, what were the discussions at the dinner table with you and your father, Fred, and your siblings? I mean, he didn't want any part of that. But I got it out of him. I dragged it out of him.
A little bit. And let me tell you what I hate about the book is the media bashing with the broad strokes. Because that in that way, when I was every time I would hear that, I was saying to myself, well, that's not everybody. That's not every journalist out there. Everybody's not out to get Donald Trump. And there's an awful lot of that in this book. And that, you know, being somebody who I'm not a Trump supporter, I'm going to tell you that I'm halfway through it and I love it. And it's fantastic. It really is. It's very insightful. But I don't, I'm not a Trump fan. And when I read that, the New York Times is out to get him, the Washington Post is out to get him. When I read that, I say to myself, I don't know if that's necessarily true.
Well, let's step back and look at the facts. All right? So I've been in the business more than 45 years, the journalism business. I have a master's degree in broadcast journalism from Boston University, and I got into this business because I wanted to tell the truth to the folks. It's what I wanted to do, and I've been very successful in this business doing just that. However, we now have a situation in America where six corporations control 90% of the news flow. Six. Five of the six despise Donald Trump. And I'll run them down if you want. But
no, but I mean, when you say that, there are people within all of those five of the six that you mentioned that are on the networks, that are on television, that are interviewed, that don't necessarily feel that way. And look, I understand.
Their jobs are in jeopardy. I know them all, Mike.
I know.
Every single one of them. If you go on NBC, the Today Show or whatever, and you say, you know what, I don't think Donald Trump's getting a fair shake in this impeachment deal. You're done. You're through.
But they'll have you on. They would have you on.
The managers will slowly move you out. You will be a pariah in the newsroom. If you are seen wearing a Make America Great Again hat in Central Park, even on your off hours, that word will get back. There is an unbelievable pressure in all of these newsrooms to conform to the corporate point of view that Donald Trump is a danger to the country. That's the truth. Now, if you don't believe it, that's okay. I don't mind you're not believing it. But
it's,
I know.
Let me interrupt you for a second. It's not that I don't believe it. It's that I think when you're painting with broad, I think on a large scale,
very specific.
I'm talking about the individual reporters.
Let me just finish.
I think there are a lot of reporters out there that, because of the president's inability to tell the truth and the documented mistruths that he shared, there are a lot of reporters out there that feel that they have to dig and they have to clarify when this president is doing that. You talk about in the book, you talk about that you were fair to Trump. And I don't think this is necessarily a pro-Trump or an anti-Trump book. I think you do come at it from
Look, if you think that I ever took what Donald Trump says at face value, you need to do is Google Bill O'Reilly, Donald Trump TV interviews. And I did more television interviews than anybody else with him. And you'll see that I challenge pretty much everything that he said. And at times, he was furious about it. But I will tell you that the truth is the media is now corrupt in this country. They are actively rooting for Donald Trump's demise. They are trying to make that happen. And that's not what the founding fathers had in mind.
Well, we'll move on from that, but I will tell you that I think when the sitting president says that the media are the enemy of the people, and you're right, I think one out of the six, the Fox News network, is somebody who they have a point of view. I would certainly like to see it go back to a little bit more balance in all media outlets.
Because
I would like to see
that. Mm-hmm. If you read the United States of Trump, I did that. I'm not rooting for Donald Trump. I don't root for anybody. My job's to keep an eye on all the powerful people. I'm not involved with party politics, but when I see what's happened and the American people not being told the truth, then I get I'm gonna say it. But look, I appreciate the questions. I think that this should be talked about.
And getting back to, you go way back. You go back to the Fred Trump days, his father, and real estate in the New York City area, in Queens. And you are from Levittown, which is 20 miles away from where Donald Trump was born and raised. And you talk about the big controversy of renting and selling properties to white and black people, and that there was segregation there. As far as real estate deals in the early days, don't you think the policy of renting or not renting to black people and selling exclusively to white people, that leaves the door open for that scrutiny? And because I'm not sure. I don't have an opinion on that. I don't know whether that they sat around the table, and the book doesn't tell me that. You know, whether he was racist or not.
All the book reports is what was happening. All right, so that in the New York area and most other areas of the country, the real estate agents, and Fred Trump was that, would not rent to African Americans in certain neighborhoods. In my neighborhood of Levittown, the biggest suburb in the United States of America, the Levitt brothers would not sell homes to African Americans. It was horrible. It was deplorable. And I make that clear in the United States of Trump. But John Kennedy, after he was elected, signed a federal law saying you real estate agents cannot do that anymore. Now, they got around it, some of them, but it was wrong. But that's what the system was, that people put making money over social justice. What a shock, right?
Yeah, and I guess you leave it to interpretation as to what it was like around the, because he doesn't give it to you, and he doesn't give it to anybody as far as what was happening around the dinner table in the Trump household and whether they were
enthusiastic
participants.
No, he says he never talked about race, but the Trump organization was sanctioned for these kinds of unfair rental policies. That's on a record, and I reported that.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, and you're very clear on what he will tell you and what he won't tell you. And it leads to, I'm not going to speculate because I don't know. I don't know what was discussed around the Trump table. He says that it never came up.
Right.
I
think that's true. Fred was not, didn't want any part of that discussion. But look, one of the highlights of the book is I asked President Trump about his father being in the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, what reporter on earth would ask the president about that? I did.
Absolutely. I agree. And
so what I want to get across on this book is whether you like Trump or you don't like Trump, Americans should know who he is and how he pulled it off. That's very, very important for every single one of us.
I'm going to agree with you. The book is The United States of Trump, How the President Really Sees America. Bill O'Reilly's our guest. And I think from somebody that skews left with my politics, I found it interesting, and I think it's something that if you're, you know, I'm down here in the reddest area of South Florida, and I think it's a good book for me to read. It's a good book for me to read just to improve my knowledge.
I hope so, and I'm glad you have an open mind about it, because the hatred that has risen because of Donald Trump's election is harming the nation dramatically. It's hurting all of us.
Well, and also, I'm not going to come at it from a point of hating the man, but I think that there is a style. Stylistically, I think he contributes to a lot of that damage himself. And you mentioned that in the book. And by the way, if you want to really a primer on what he did, let's go back to, if we have some time, the Apprentice. I love the part about where you just concisely explain the sweetheart deal with the Apprentice, and that's a big deal in him becoming president. That's just
absolutely
that sums it up. And it's also his kind of deal where he just shows up and does his thing.
That he portrayed for more than 10 years to the American people, A, got him known by everybody, and his Republican competition was not known. Even Jeb Bush, people really didn't know much about him. They knew who he was. But Trump was clearly defined as an authoritative, successful businessman because that was the deal he made with NBC. And Jeff Zucker, his biggest enemy now, who runs CNN, was part of that deal. And that's why Trump is so adamantly opposed to CNN, because he and Zucker were once big buds. But yes, the Apprentice absolutely catapulted him into the Oval Office, no question about it.
And he comes into this deal. He doesn't have to put up any of his own money.
Nope.
Mark Burnett approaches him. You can show up when you want. You can do your little thing. You don't have, you can do it off the cuff. You don't have to, all the things he likes, and it ends up making him a ton of money and making him the household name that he became before he ran for president. When you talk to Don Jr. in the book, and the parallels between the childhood of Don Jr. and the childhood of Donald Trump, just amazing to me that, you know, both these kids at a young age, they're sent to boarding school, and they have this this sort of absentee father figure where there's just, what I got, Bill, from this, not a lot of fuzzy, lovey no. father-son stuff for either one of these guys, and it formed who they were. That's why you mentioned in the book that Donald Jr. is the most similar child to the president.
Yes, but Don Jr. has a lot more to do with his children, his five children, than Donald Trump had to do with Don Jr. But the amazing thing about it is, excuse me, Mike.
That's all right. That's all right.
That Donald Trump Jr. idolizes his father, and so do the other two older kids, Eric and Ivanka. They idolize the man, and you would think that if he wasn't around much, and he wasn't, that they would resent him, and they wouldn't like him so much. But they are his three best friends and his three strongest allies.
Yeah, and it's tough to analyze that. And
I didn't
know,
even bother because I'm not a psychiatrist, and that's not where I go. I'm just stating for the record that this is what it is. And then we have some funny stories about how he raised his children in an unorthodox way, to be kind.
You know, and speaking of funny stories, if you really, I'm not going to give it away because I'd love, you know, people, because Bill, you need the money. So I want people to get the book. I really, if you want to know, there's a great fact about Diet Coke in the book that I don't know. I don't know if I've read it anywhere else, but it's pretty darn interesting. It was the same thing with the George Washington had hemorrhoids. I mean, it's just these little facts that jump out of these books.
Factoids that's, you know, you want to know about the man. You read the book and you'll know about the man.
His reluctance to apologize. You talk about his greatest flaw is his insecurity. Isn't the inability to admit you screwed up a symptom of that insecurity when you come right
down? I think that hurts him. I'm not a psychiatrist, so I don't get into whys, but it's clear, and Don Jr. affirmed it, that Donald Trump will never apologize because he sees it as a sign of weakness. And my credo is that if you do something wrong, you become stronger if you apologize for it. See, he sees it a different way. He sees that as, well, no, if I apologize, then I have to start explaining all this stuff, and I'm not even going to bother. I'm just going to go on to the next deal, whatever that may be, and people will forget. Again, Donald Trump is very confident in his assessment of the world and of the country, and you cannot argue with his success. So it's tough to convince him that maybe once in a while you say you're sorry, you know? He doesn't buy it.
Terrified of it, I would imagine. I mean, from what I get,
he's terrified. He just sees it as not advancing his cause. And I understand why members of the press and members of the public see that as something that they don't like. I absolutely understand it. And
how do you
feel
about it?
I'm not trying to justify it in any way. All I'm trying to do is explain it.
Well, how do you feel about it, though? I'm going to ask you, Bill O'Reilly, how do you feel?
He'd be stronger as a president and as a human being if he apologized for things that, for mistakes that he made, because everybody makes mistakes. So that's my opinion, and I've told him that.
Well, and I also think that when I look at that presidency, one of the things I've become aware of during the Trump presidency is, I think if he listened to people more often and he played the game a little bit better, he's probably not going to do that because he thinks his success is the reason he is who he is. But I think if he played by the rules a little bit, and if he was just, you hear the word presidential all the time, I think it would have been an easier go for him, don't you?
Yes, I think that if he uses the office of the presidency in a way to advance his vision, it'll be a lot stronger. I talked to him on Monday, actually twice, because I was one of the sponsors of the New York City Veterans Day Parade because my grandfather marched in the first one 100 years ago. Wow. And I was happy to do it. That's a privately funded parade. So I saw him because he gave the address, and I you know, we just chatted about a couple of things. And I can never say to the public what I talk to any president about. I've talked to Barack Obama a number of times in private, and I've talked to Donald Trump in private. And then I talked to him later on in the day. And if a president asks me anything, I will give that president an honest answer, because that's what I think an American citizen should do. But I have made it very clear, both in my public commentary on BillO'Reilly.com and in private, that I think Donald Trump should stop the personal stuff and get into why he believes impeachment's bad for the country, why he did what he did, that kind of a thing. But, you know, he takes everything personally. The president takes everything personally. Barack Obama did that too, by the way. But you never heard from him because he was a much more disciplined man.
Yeah, and you spend a lot of time on the campaign itself, and you talk about the Megyn Kelly situation. We won't go into that here, but with that, you know, the gotcha question that she asked him, which I agree with that the way she framed that. How much consternation did that cause for you at Fox when you kind of kept it close to the vest on that after that debate?
Well, I think I covered that very fairly, and I consulted with her, and I consulted with Roger Ailes, who was running Fox News, because obviously people were looking to me to say something about it. I got both of their opinions. I was respectful to both of them. Kelly was on my program every week. I branded her show, The Kelly File, and I did her an enormous amount of good. Ailes, as I say in the book, asked me not to make a big deal out of it, that he wanted to handle it himself, and of course, I deferred to that. He was my superior. But I did tell the audience that I thought it was a prosecutorial question rather than an illicit information question, and I would not have gone that way. But Kelly's entitled to do what Kelly wanted to do. I mean, she was a big shot at Fox. They let her do it. They didn't know she was going to do it. Everybody was surprised. And then Trump, of course, reacted the way Trump reacted. And I yelled at Trump for that. I said, come on. I mean, it's one person. Why are you damning the whole network? You know, I know you don't like it. Okay. But let's go. Let's move ahead here. So it was a very interesting time. And I think when I write about that in the United States of Trump, that is the first time that story has ever been told honestly.
And you also mentioned that you would have liked to get your Bill O'Reilly choppers into one of those debates. You would have liked to host one of those.
Yeah, but if I do a debate, then it's a whole different thing, because I'm going to bring a point of view in.
I'm watching.
And I think that's much more instructive for the American people, by the way. I think these idiots that are doing the debates now, you can't remember one question they ask. You don't know what they're talking about. With me, you know. And if somebody dodges or says something ridiculous, I'm going to go, what? Are you kidding me?
You're always so warm and fuzzy. In the book, you spend some time talking about Hillary. And I remember, you know, I voted for Hillary. I didn't connect with Hillary, but I voted for Hillary. And you write that this was something that stuck with me in the book. You wrote that she doesn't show emotion, and that this campaign was about emotion. Aren't all campaigns basically now about emotion, Bill?
That's an interesting question. It depends who the person is. I mean, you're not getting a lot of emotion out of the Democratic field right now. I mean, look at Kamala Harris. I mean, God, she had an opportunity, and now she's polling at 1% because she's a zombie. Right. What you have is now a calculation made by these people based upon their research and 15 people telling them what to say and what not to say, all of these consultants and K Street people. Trump doesn't do that because Trump doesn't trust anybody. So he doesn't trust anybody. And so he's just going to go by his gut. And again, that's why he won, because people saw, hey, this guy's pretty authentic, whereas Hillary Clinton was not authentic. She was saying stuff that was written for her. I have a very interesting passage on the night of the election that she had actually two speeches written for her. She didn't write any of it. And she had to select which speech she wanted to give because she thought she was going to win. And then all of a sudden that just blew up. But Hillary Clinton was not a genuine person out there, where Trump was, because that's who Trump is. He's bombastic. He'll say anything that floats into his mind. And people responded to that, and that's why he won.
And I would imagine one of the things I take away from the book a little bit is he would be
it's a pretty, with all the power, with all the success, with all the money, it's a sad way to live when you're not, you know, when you're telling your kids, you know, when they go to school, don't trust anyone, and you don't trust anyone. That's got to be, that takes a toll, I would imagine.
I think so. He's an isolated kind of guy. Doesn't have a lot of close friends. I don't live that way, but I have to tell you, I don't trust many people. I've seen too much now, and we're changing society, and values like loyalty and honesty and not bearing false witness against your neighbor and due process, all of that is evaporating before our eyes. And that makes it very tough for anyone in the public arena to trust anybody. And so Trump's not, he's not crazy on this issue. I mean, it's a dangerous world out there.
It's tough in Washington. Last question for you, and the book is The United States of Trump by Bill O'Reilly, How the President Really Sees America. I'm not going to ask you, I always ask you to predict stuff, but I'm not going to ask you to predict the how you think the election's going to go. But I am going to ask your thoughts on what if with the election. What happens if Trump wins in 2020, and what will he do, in your opinion? What would be next if he is sent packing? What do you think happens if we have 4 more years, and what happens if there is no more President Trump?
Well, I don't think the country is going to be harmed if Donald Trump leaves office and a Democrat gets in, if the Democrat is a moderate. But if it is a socialist, then we'll go into a depression, and there'll be violence in this country. I know that's a dire prediction, but I can almost guarantee you that will happen. So the Democrats have a decision to make. Do we go radical left, or do we put a moderate in? A moderate, probably business as usual. A radical leftist, Armageddon.
Who'd be the most moderate, in your opinion, on the Biden. Democratic side, right?
Biden's not going to do anything. If he gets elected president, he's just going to go in there and wave at you. He's not going to do anything.
And that's a good place to end. Hey, you know, you're always so nice to come on our show and give us your time. We appreciate that. Bill O'Reilly, the book is United States of Trump, How the President Really Sees America. You don't need luck, but good luck to you, Bill. And thanks for joining us. We hope to talk again real soon.
See you.
Okay?
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Hi, thank you,
Bill. That's Bill O'Reilly, ladies and gentlemen. That's always fun. That was the one I really wanted to talk to him about because he's known the guy for, a few decades. And it's interesting. I don't agree with everything Bill O'Reilly says, but it's sure interesting to hear him talk.
And nice to go out on a high note.
He'll just wave at everybody. You know, he's going to wave at everybody.
No, that's I was talking about the prediction of violence.
Oh, the prediction of violence, with the left. Yes, there you go. Yeah, well, that's what. Well, put that in the category of I don't agree.
Okay, good. Thank you
very much. What were you going to say, Oscar?
Well, his approach was actually not what I was expecting from this book.
The book would surprise you maybe a little bit, but then a lot of things don't surprise me. But it's interesting when you know, with all the stuff we've seen about Roger Ailes and everything going on, it's really interesting. And then occasionally you'll get a nugget where there'll be a line that I went back and I read about the Hillary and the emotion. Because I've always said to myself, you know, why, what was it? Well, yeah, we all said, oh, we just didn't connect with her. We didn't like, well, that's kind of in there. I'll give him credit for some of that stuff. And, it really sounds like a tough childhood to me. Is with all the money, with all the success, you're talking, I think in the book he talks about 13 years old when he goes to boarding military school. Wow. And he is there for 5 years.
Wow.
So, you know, that would screw anybody up, I would think. But I could be wrong. We'll take a break. And when we come back, we're going to lighten it up with the incredible results of our football pool. I'm not apologizing like Trump. We'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
Hi, y'all. It's Angie with a new episode of the Oh My Golf Show out. Meow. Come relax with us among the whiskers. Yep, we're trying out cat yoga. Paging Dr. Ken, the very funny Ken Jung, pays me a compliment and makes my life. And Halloween is over. Merry Christmas. We're talking about the Christmas creep. And no, it's not a weird guy in a mall parking lot. Subscribe now to the Oh My Golf Show on YouTube or Apple Podcasts.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I knew Bill O'Reilly was coming on the show today, so I wanted to shave extra close. No, that's not true.
That was a close shave.
Humans have been shaving for over 5,000 years, from shark teeth to the first copper razors. A great shave always comes down to the blade. Sharp, durable blades. That's why, you know, back in the caveman days, they'd say, honey,
My shark tooth is dull.
Go to the market.
Go pull another shark tooth out of the shark, out of our shark. Harry's doesn't add gimmicky features to their razors. Harry's is a return to the essential quality and durability at a fair price. $2 a blade. Harry's is also super convenient. Blade refills are delivered directly to your door on your schedule with or without a subscription. And your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed, backed by a full refund. I never start my day without my Harry's. Never. So be like me and join the 10 million who have tried Harry's. Claim your special trial offer by going to harrys.com/TMOS. Our listeners can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/TMOS. You'll get a weighted ergonomic handle with a firm grip, for a firm grip, with form, for firm,
furp, furp,
with,
furp.
A weighted ergonomic handle for with a firm grip. 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe for skin hydration, a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry on the go. So go to harrys.com/TMOS and start shaving better today. We appreciate that. And it's always nice, Rob. I think we've established that relationship with Mr. O'Reilly.
Yeah.
That he comes on the show. And look, I believe that, you know, he's paid his dues and he's taken his lumps.
He was
a
little uptight this time, though, because he didn't talk about his dogs. I wanted to hear about his dogs.
Very good.
I like his dogs.
All right, let me grab the football stuff here. Do we want to do the results?
We got to recap. Yeah, we got to recap.
All right, is the commissioner here?
The commissioner is here, and so is Diamond.
Hello. Nicholas, are you on the phone?
Diamond here.
Sound a little rough, Nicky. Everything all right?
Give it up to my opening act, Bill O'Reilly. Thank you.
Nothing like following him, huh, Nicky? Isn't that great?
Really? It's a hot room now.
You know, that's funny, Nicky. That's like a stand-up comedy reference. Do you follow stand-up comics?
Yeah. More of an improv guy.
Okay, very good.
I understand that. All right, Maddie, before we get Nicky in here to pick the games with us, let's unfortunately get the results.
Recap. All right. Last week was terrible for everybody.
I disagree.
Not for Rob. Not totally terrible
for
Rob.
Just for the NFL in general. Bad teams were beating good teams. It did not make sense. The Bills lost. And it showed, Mike, 3-9 for the week.
Ouch.
Yeah, Nikki, it hurt. It hurt, baby.
Oscar, 5-7 for the week.
God.
And Rob, the only winning record, 7-5.
I sucked the least. That's still not a good week.
Disappointing.
Man, get, Spurlock.
Yeah. Thanks, Diamond.
So overall, we have Mike at 82-62.
Sucking.
And Rob and Oscar are now tied at 89-55.
Ooh.
All right. Well, very good. All right, Maddie, and let's get on with it and get to our picks, ladies and gentlemen. Lay it on us.
All right.
Madam Commissioner.
We have Steelers at Browns. 3-2-1.
Steelers.
Falcons at Panthers. 3-2-1.
Falcons.
Panthers.
Cowboys at Lions. 3-2-1.
Cowboys.
Jaguars at Colts. 3-2-1.
Colts.
Jaguars.
Ooh.
Well done.
Sick of the Colts. I'm sick of the Colts.
Sick of them.
Sick of them. Sick of them. Sick of them.
Bills at Dolphins. 3-2-1.
Bills.
Texans at Ravens. 3-2-1.
Ravens. Texans.
Ooh. Ooh.
Broncos at Vikings. 3-2-1.
Vikings.
Broncos.
Jets at Redskins. 3-2-1.
Jets.
Oh, Mike, I got a new production element.
Oh, I think a new element?
Yeah, right, I think you'll like this.
Go Skins!
Thank you, Rob.
What did you find?
They can't lose now.
On that note. Saints at Buccaneers. 3-2-1.
Saints.
Cardinals at 49ers. 3-2-1.
Niners.
Bengals at Raiders. 3-2-1.
Raiders.
Raiders.
Patriots at Eagles. 3-2-1.
Patriots.
Eagles.
What?
Oh! It could happen.
Bears at Rams. 3-2-1.
Bears. Rams.
And Chiefs at Chargers. 3-2-1.
Chiefs.
Chargers.
Wow. Right. There's a lot of disparity on the scoreboard, Mike.
I know there is. I think that you two agreed more than me.
I
agree.
I'm the odd one out. I'm going to probably be 3-9 next week, too. Nikki Diamond, let's get an expert in here from Pahrump, Nevada.
Exactly.
The state we will be traveling to later on this week, ladies and gentlemen. Nicholas, lay it on us, baby.
Hey, gentlemen. Sorry about last week. I had to do some volunteer to do some community service for the fine city of Pahrump. I was not able to attend our weekly festivities. I apologize for that. Again, volunteer. I volunteered.
I apologize for not accepting those collect calls.
Nikki, I heard, well, Rob told me. We might as well get it out there. Nikki, what were you, you had a little run-in with the law. Can you elaborate at all what it might have been a result of?
As a bingo situation from earlier in the year, got resolved, and I had a deadline to do some things, and I volunteered to do them this past week. I did not volunteer with enough urgency and effort, and therefore I need to also volunteer this week, so I apologize, I'll be missing you in Las Vegas.
Again, that's sad.
Volunteering. I'm a good Samaritan, just love the people.
Community service. All right, get to the games, Nicholas. Thank you very much.
All right, the carry. It's the sleeper. You snooze. You win, baby. Curtis Samuel of the Carolina Panthers against the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta, big win last week, but their defense is still horrible. Samuel, wide receiver, will have his biggest game of the season. The Merle. It's the sure thing. The Raiders are back, baby. The autumn wind is once again a Raider. They're going to be in Vegas next year. You're there this week. They're going to destroy the Bengals, giving 10 points. Cincinnati has one problem. They're bad at anything. They will get destroyed.
Oh, dear.
Diamond pick of the week, Drew Brees. He doesn't play poorly 2 weeks in a row. He's playing the Bucs. He'll come back big time, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. Line him up, baby! Here's the Maddie, the biggest of all long shots for a Muta boy. He'll get to bed before 6 a.m. this weekend. Amazing! Can you believe it? Nobody can! So you're telling me there's a chance? Vegas, baby!
Thank you. Thank you, Nick. Thank you.
Congratulations. Love you all.
Thank you. Love you all.
What is that about?
There he goes. What a show today. My God. Sweet. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh, lordy.
But Mike,
lordy,
I do want you to remember one thing always.
Yes.
Go Skins.
Where
really great.
In the name of God did you dig that one up?
I might have found it in an old WAVA production package that was just sticking around, you know, and I said, I think we can use that.
We should use that.
Yeah, it's good because they're having a good year.
I cannot believe I didn't look at that until last night. Yes. My results from week 10, and I looked at 3-9 and I said, what happened to the NFL? I was distracted. I had my kid with me on Sunday. I was not sitting down and watching outside of the Giants and the Jets. I didn't. By the time the New York Giants lost to the New York Jets, my football day was over. I didn't want to look
at
a pigskin.
We had a lovely exchange about that. You, as you said you would. You would text me during that game, and you did. Lovely.
a little disclosure here as far as my son is concerned. All right. This is interesting.
All right,
Mrs. O'Mara has read the protocol about concussions and all that stuff. My kid is very into football.
Mm,
not necessarily watching it on TV, but throwing it, catching it, we're doing it. That's all we do. We do it outside. We do it inside. We do it outside. We do it inside.
Did you prompt this? How does he?
This is how it happens with kids, right? And and then we're talking to this friend of ours who's got three kids that are in Little League football, and I don't know. I open it to the floor. He loves it, and if he loves something, I don't want him smashing into people at the college level or anything like that, but the kid throws a mean spiral.
About 2 weeks ago,
I could see him as a QB.
A week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago on CBS Sunday Morning, they did a very thoughtful piece about flag football. And it's not just now for little kids or, you know, teens, but adults that are in these big flag football leagues. And
right.
I think if the press continues, the NFL can't quash the concussion story like they have been. And make no mistake, they are. There was a major motion picture that went away in 6 days. Just magically. How does this happen?
And but, the one with Will Smith,
yes,
right?
Yes, and it was a good movie, but it just went away because the NFL is that powerful. I think eventually they will have to do some sort of revision and maybe get him into flag football. Kids seem to love it.
I think it's a dangerous sport. It's fun, but like it, it doesn't matter how you tackle the propensity of, and I think the probability of the act of hurling your body against somebody else.
Yeah.
Right.
For no necessary upside except for sport. I mean, it's like hockey. So I don't know which is worse at the time, because either you're on skates or you're on the field.
I was totally in agree with Mrs. O'Mara, and then I saw him throw that spiral. I'm like, wow.
Ka-ching.
Boy, oh boy.
You know, if he's a quarterback, he'll be hit less.
That's true.
Ladies and gentlemen, the starting quarterback for your Florida Gators. Oh, I'm sorry. Look at that. That's terrible. I shouldn't do that.
I mean, Tim Tebow.
Do you think you could offer him the notion of a flag football thing, see if he's into that? Because that's got a lot of the same elements.
I'm not sure. Right now it's golf, golf, golf. We'll see where he goes.
And is theater nowhere on the spectrum?
No. I'm afraid not. Although he loves to perform.
Yes.
Well, who's the guy on Sunday mornings? That's Terry Bradshaw was in theater at one point, if I'm not mistaken.
And it shows.
Yes.
Yes. It does. Yeah. A virtual thespian.
Well, that's what got him Cannonball Run.
On that note, let's take a break. Now we will take a break.
Now we will play Paul Simon.
Oscar, do you still want to review your television show?
Oh, I'd love to.
That you watched?
Yes.
We'll do that and add a little more when we come back on the day that Mike O'Mara did not produce a newscast.
Oh.
Right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. I'm sorry. I was getting ready for,
O'Reilly.
Billy Boy.
Of course.
I was getting ready for this guy.
Dude, that's news right there.
Thank you. We'll take a break. Be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Attention. If you or a loved one has been suffering from hysteria, extended periods of boredom, laughing so hard you pee a little, fear of the end of another show, androphobia, fear of men, confusion about the TMOS world, confusion about the non-TMOS world, hippopotamonstrosequipedalophobia, the irrational need to play Overwatch for hours a day, any characteristics that intern Mac possesses, mania, binge drinking beer and whiskey, old age, douchebag 30s, and extreme hatred of intern promos. As a result of listening to the Mike O'Mara Show, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Please, don't wait. Subscribe to the TMOS bonus package today to receive free legal advice. Visit the TMOS website now to subscribe. And remember, you are entitled to entertainment.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by No Emmy. Shopping for fine jewelry can be overwhelming, especially considering the fact that most fine jewelry retailers mark up prices by 5,000.
Yes.
Let me start again. Shopping for fine jewelry can be overwhelming, especially considering the fact that most fine jewelry retailers mark up prices by 500% to 1,000%. I read numbers. My name's Mike O'Mara. No Emmy believes that luxury jewelry doesn't have to be overpriced. They cut out the middleman to deliver exceptional products without the exorbitant markup. They use reclaimed 18-karat gold. And you can choose from certified natural conflict-free stones or lab-created diamonds of uncompromising quality. Finally, a customer service company that just happens to sell jewelry. I love their website. It's easy to navigate, and the prices cannot be beat. No Emmy also offers a lifetime warranty and free shipping and returns on every product, including engravings and custom designs. If you're looking for the finest quality jewelry from a luxury brand you can trust, look no further than No Emmy. Go to HelloNoEmmy.com/TMOS to see their collections and get $50 off your first purchase with promo code TMOS. It's wonderful. That's an even better deal after spending a fraction of what you pay for other luxury brands. Just go to HelloNoEmmy.com/TMOS and don't forget to use promo code TMOS for $50 off your first purchase. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. We are going to be traveling tomorrow, and
yes,
we will all be on stage at the Zappos Council Chambers Theaters. Tomorrow we are in the air, and then on Friday and Saturday night, two sold-out shows in Las Vegas, and hopefully the theaters will be full with everybody with the last minute. You know, I get so tired of reading that, I get freaked out, you know.
Got a pair,
you got a pair. It's like Tradio that I'm reading online.
I got a box spring mattress that's queen
I've
size.
I've got a curio cabinet that I'd like with two tickets to the TMOS Live
show. It just
show
needs some shelf tabs. It's got the shelves, but it doesn't have any shelf tabs. And
exactly. But it's nice to read the people that are already out there. We're super excited. And we will all be out there and looking forward to seeing you in Las Vegas for the 10th anniversary. It came up so fast. It's so quick.
Like a rocket ship, yeah.
Even though we're like a week later than we normally do that show, and it just came flying at us, and we can't wait to get out there. Oscar Santana, you've been doing some TV watching. I haven't been doing as much as I should. And what do you have to recommend for us this
week? So here at, I guess, the headquarters, the world headquarters, at Podcast Village, once in a while, you'll hear some of the younger editors talking about shows that I've never heard about before. And I'll be like, eh, that's probably not for me. Like, it's just, it's a Netflix show that's made for tweens. It's not for me. So I'll walk away from that. And then sometimes I'll hear Rob talk about, Rob with two B's, talk about shows, SpeeWack, that I'm like, eh, that's on
Turner
Classic Movies. I don't want to deal with that. Yeah. There was two worlds collided, I wouldn't say, a week and a half ago.
Then, Mike, there's Baby Bear, whose porridge was just
where
right.
Where I had Rob Ford and Rob SpeeWack going back and forth about the Kaminsky method.
Yeah.
And right. I was like, what the hell is this? First of all, two Robs talking to each other.
Season two,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
is that what it is? All right.
So they're talking about it independently with me, like just mentioning something to me. And then I hear like a back and forth. And then it wasn't that much of just the mention of the show between Rob and Rob. And I'm like, all right, fine. This is you're working me. There's too much Kaminsky method. And I've seen it on Netflix. Fine. I'll check it out. So I dive in to start just perusing, see if there's any good. And I realize that my wife had watched the first season already.
Oh.
And we're not the couple of like, hey, what's the deal? Like, we have to share everything. I don't
right,
care.
Right.
I wish I did it more. My wife and I don't sit down and watch enough TV together. I find it fun when we do, when we have a show that we can watch together.
It's always a plus.
It just
is
doesn't
always
happen
a plus.
That often.
Yes.
You know?
I'm not shocked that she took in the first season because it's like popcorn. It goes so fast.
And I'm not sure I agree with you on that, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not sure I dug it. Yeah.
Well, you'll really? Be shocked that I absolutely love it.
You guys love a lot of shows I don't like.
Well, yeah. I didn't think I would like a movie about two older dudes in
TV show.
What is their winter? I mean the show.
It starts with a tragic death for one thing.
It's sad. There's ups and downs, and it's kind of melancholy. I guess is the best word.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Douglas and Alan Arkin. They're not necessarily. They don't scream to me. Oh my god, Michael Douglas probably does, but Alan Arkin doesn't scream to me. Oh my god, I have to watch the show.
Right,
right.
And I thought it was more like I wouldn't get it because it's not my. I'm not that demographic yet.
Alan Arkin's the agent. Michael Douglas is the actor.
Actor
right?
/ acting coach.
But,
and the Kaminsky right. method is actually his class. That's what it's based on.
Okay.
So right. I gave it a shot one because my wife said she loved it, and then also it had an element of Barry on HBO of an acting coach.
Yes.
Built into it. So it's nothing like Barry, but I found it, frankly, it was a palate cleanser from all the BS that's out there.
How do you think it stands up to Jack Ryan?
It's better than Jack Ryan. Yes.
I agree with him. I stayed with Jack Ryan for two episodes, and I thought it was okay, but really? I really like the Kaminsky method. I think you care
better
about
than Jack Ryan.
Am I getting dumber? I'm not sure.
I think it has to do with the fact that the two main characters are very well formed and therefore likable, and I think it gets you invested very quickly.
No, they're not necessarily likable.
No, I don't say
the characters. Aren't.
I didn't say likable. I said you're invested in them and they're
you
well
didn't
formed.
Say likable, Oscar. He said well formed.
But you are
so you
invested
give it
a, in
you,
them.
How many
you
Oscars do you give it?
This is why. Like, well, it's on a. It's what is the Jane Fonda? Not Jane Fonda.
The one with Lily Tomlin.
Yeah.
Oh God, it's two names.
Frankie and Annie, or Gretty and
is it Frankie and Johnny?
Frankie something like
Frankie
that.
Frankie and Johnny, I think.
Yeah.
That show I hated.
Okay.
And my wife loved it. This is that show with men, and I don't know what that says about me.
Maybe you could do a crossover, Michael.
So both of you are giving a hearty
because
thumbs up.
They're in the winter.
Is it
of
Kaminsky or Kaminsky?
Kaminsky, isn't it?
Yeah. Kaminsky
with an F.
Kaminsky.
Grace and Frankie. That's where we were close.
Frank
that's
and
what
Johnny.
I said.
We were not right. even
Frankie,
in the neighborhood.
Frankie and Grace.
That's right. Frankie and Johnny and, were lovers.
Right. And, oh, Lordy, how they could love.
It just is funny. It's funny. And I don't know why I like it because I should hate it because there's nothing I identify with in that show.
Do you like the train wreck daughter?
No.
I
she's
do.
Annoying.
I think she's great.
She's annoying.
All I know is you're both recommending it.
Yes, absolutely.
We got out of this segment.
Yeah,
well, that,
four, out five,
okay.
four out of five.
All right. So watch Frankie and the Kaminsky Method on and by the way,
Netflix.
In this day and age, you have to specify. Is it Netflix?
Has your son hit you up for Disney Plus yet? It's Netflix.
I saw Disney, but not a chance I'm paying for that.
Gonna there shake you down.
There is not a chance in hell.
So many people, like in my age demographic, that got it the first day to watch movies that they hadn't seen since they were six. So it's like saying, I watch Flight of the Navigator.
Right up your alley, though.
Oh,
nostalgia.
Man. Yeah, you know what? Disney stuff
you
is
you can
really...
watch Fantasia.
I have Fantasia.
No, how much is it a month? How much is it a month?
$1 million.
I'll get $1 million, Less than a pack of smoke.
Hey, just ask anyway. Walt. Walt loved to smoke.
It showed up on my smart TV.
Oh, I bet.
Like it reached in there. Here's Disney, and of course it's the first one. Disney.
Huh?
Yeah. We'll take a break, and we're going to cover this story that's been all around this week. When we come back, about the remake of Baby It's Cold Outside.
Please. Yes,
I've got some very strong feelings about this, and John Legend is getting some crap about it, and we'll discuss that when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, this is internet sensation Tadia Bedje.
Old friend.
Do you stare at your computer all day? Well, at least it's better than staring at Santana Moss.
Captain
Face it,
Phillip.
You're addicted. So, if you're staring at your computer anyway, you might as well be staring at the Mike O'Mara Show YouTube page. Just go to youtube.com/Mike O'Mara Show and click the bell to subscribe to our page. Now, you can see Mike make fun of Rob's big head or laugh at Oscar while he gets his head shaved. So hit up the TMOS YouTube page and watch all of the episodes that your computer-loving mind desires. Or just throw your computer out the window. Because if you're not watching us on YouTube, you're not using your computer for the right things anyway. Thank you.
Fun.
There's a new Stephen King television series, like The Return of Misery or something like that. That's
no, I think isn't it an answer series to The Shining? I thought.
No,
or is that that's a movie?
No, that's a movie. That's a movie.
Okay, forgive me.
When I'm struggling and then you double down on my struggling, it doesn't help. It's about Annie Wilkes.
Oh, okay.
The Misery Lady, yeah. And it's a TV series about her. The reason I mention that is Toddie's in it. So go check it out if you get a chance. You'll get it if you look in now. Now,
nice.
If you don't watch the show, you're screwed. Congratulations to Zappos on their 20th birthday. 20 years of the absolute best customer service and a selection that is unmatched. Happy birthday, Zappos. Let's have a duck pond.
Yeah.
Whack, whack.
Yeah, you pick up the duck, and if it has a dot, you win a prize,
ooh.
Right?
Yeah, I've
wonderful.
Seen that before.
And,
when I was a kid.
Schwarzwald Kirschtort. Yum.
That's Black Forest cherry cake.
Okay. Thanks to over 1,000 trusted brand names, Zappos.com is able to help millions of customers create a long-lasting wardrobe that they love. We are excited to continue our thriving partnership with Zappos. Our partnership is built on listener support. So whether it's footwear, outerwear, anywhere, basically, if you wear it, get it at Zappos. We just ask that you support us both by accessing Zappos through our website. Just click the banner. As always, Zappos.com provides fast, free shipping, free and easy returns, 24/7 friendly customer service, and a 365-day return policy. Thank you to Zappos.com. There's never been a better time to look your best. Thank you, Zappos. 48 hours, bitches.
That's right, bitches.
Mm. Yeah. So what did they do with the song Baby It's Cold Outside, which the way I understand it was deemed by a certain circles to be like a guy trying to imprison a woman on a cold night. Although I thought it was just a sweet, you know, baby, don't go home. I want you to spend the night.
An ancient offering from the Great American Songbook by Frank Lesser. And it was performed for many years. It's a classic duet with two parts written for men and women. Just to give you an idea of the classic, my favorite performance from back in the day is the Dean Martin version, where Dean sings the male part and they actually have a female chorus that does the female part. This gives you an idea of the tone of it.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Got to go. But whose version is this?
This is Dean Martin. This
evening has been hoping that you drop in. Nice. I'll hold your hands, they're just like
your
ice. Beautiful, what's your
alright, so he's obviously trying to get her to stay.
Exactly.
And where was the controversy? Where did that come from?
In
that
the fact
they
it
thought
was,
it was like he was. Did he slip something into her drink?
The extreme version is it's a date rape song.
Yeah, and it was on the heels of all the Me Too stuff that was on everybody's mind, particularly last year. And they're saying, well, you know, why is he forcing her to stay? It's not fair to her. And so it became sort of a movement thing going on. And
Am I an old fart when I say it doesn't sound like that to me?
I think you can take any type of... any type of song of this matter where there's courting involved, mm-hmm. and really take the lyrics with outside of the song and say this may lead down that path.
Sure.
And this is a dangerous topic to talk about, because if you're for the old song, then you're against women's rights and you're against consent.
I'm not for the old song. Here's what I'm for. I'm for balance, and there's no balance. And I'm a left-wing guy. I'm a liberal guy. I have liberal views on a lot of things, a lot of social issues. I'm for all of these guys, starting with Harvey Weinstein, working their way through Kevin Spacey, all these creeps getting their just desserts. I think that they truly ought to be imprisoned and they ought to be held accountable, men in power that are trying to do this. What I'm not for is a double standard when you have lyrics that are commonly heard in certain radio stations about women coming out and saying, eat my A. And then baby, it's cold outside. You know what I mean? It's just, to me, I'm looking at this and it's just, this is like you would say, hey, don't go home. I want you to stay, sweetheart. Please, it's cold. You don't want to leave. I'm trying to say,
who wins out of this equation? And that's what I always like to see. Like who comes out clean out of the end game?
Yeah.
And if you look, take a deeper dive. So this started happening last holiday season.
Right.
And I had the same reaction I think Mike did off air when you hear this. And it was outside of the confines of this studio. I think I was just driving in and someone had played something. And I was just like, what is that? And then you hear an update with John Legend and Kelly Clarkson. And you hear the update of that song. You're like, okay, I don't know who's winning now. Because if someone's updating that song, who has the publishing rights?
There is a part of the lyrics that say, what's in this drink?
Yes.
So there is that. And the man's unrelenting pressure for the woman to stay in spite of a repeated suggestion that she should go home as being suggestive of sexual harassment or even date rape.
Perhaps others I am have naive, noted that, but when you say what's in this drink, that is sort of like an old-fashioned way of saying, boy, you made this strong. This is a very dry martini.
Well, but
what is in this
but
drink?
But that's it. Yeah. That's like what it would be,
exactly.
Strong drink.
Right.
But, look, when you get through this serious discussion, the inner comedian in me just starts laughing because John Legend made an updated politically correct version for Legend's A Legendary Christmas.
Yes.
That's the album. And he sings it with Kelly Clarkson. Deanna Martin criticized the new interpretation as absurd, saying her father would not have approved of Legend altering the lyrics, which she believes are more sexual than the original. To appease contemporary sensibilities.
So here's some of the John Legend.
If you want to hear it, let's listen.
Some of the update.
Time spent with you is paradise.
I don't think it's so good a song that it needs to be redone anyway.
No, I don't think it's worth the uproar in the first place, actually.
I never really liked the song to start with.
There's so much good we could do with this energy and time.
Yes.
That's why I look at the real winners out of this equation. The real winners are the publishers, the people that own the music rights, the record company, because when that was a controversy last year, all you would see is these certain stations just play it more.
Yep.
So people could talk about it. This year, it's been updated because they're like, oh, I guess we're not going to have that controversy again. Let's manufacture it again. So I want to know who's publishing.
Yeah.
You're talking to a former shock jock, all right?
Right. Yes.
And unfortunately, I see things occasionally through the prism of being a shock jock. And this was I'm not going to do this, and I don't want anybody to do it, but it was just a funny idea that makes me laugh even when I'm talking about it. Because you take the original song, which may or may not be the way people interpret it, and then you take the John Legend, which is reacting to the people who think it's sexist mm-hmm. and all that. And then I would make a song where you make it even worse, where you make it into like a horror movie version, where the singer is Jigsaw. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
It's like, I can't feel my legs.
You're not going to leave until I'm finished.
It's just, I don't know, that's just, that's by,
that,
you know.
That would act, I would say this, if it's horror.
Or Bane.
Bane.
Yeah.
I really can't stay.
Why can't you stay in Gotham?
You go as far as the question and not answer, like a question and answer back and forth. Yeah. But I think you hit the nail on the head.
I can't feel my legs.
Baby, it's cold. Baby, it's cold outside.
You hit the nail on the head, where I don't think that our market, that we'd be far too really find at the root of this, that there's someone profiting from it.
Of course. And
the controversy that comes from it.
What's that?
The mirror's one way.
Baby, it's cold outside.
You're forcing me to stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
And look, we may be tone deaf.
I think sometimes we have to laugh in society.
I agree. Let me ask, and I
this
know that
won't seem to clot.
We don't speak for
baby,
our,
it's
our,
cold outside.
Our different generations.
See, Rob and I are. It's going to be really hard to stop this.
Can I ask yes, Maddie, please, the youngest of our crew here, and you're not speaking for your generation, but like, do you have a take on this?
Yeah, this is why they call us snowflakes. People just get angry at things that aren't really a big deal.
Well, hello, Bill O'Reilly. There you go. Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, for years. And I'm just sick of the conversation about it, you know? I just want to hear Baby It's Cold Outside.
I've had quite enough.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Please loosen these cuffs.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I'm sorry. It's just... I'm sorry. Am I going to get in trouble now for doing this?
I don't think so. Have you seen my new axe? Baby, it's cold outside. Feel this melting wax. Baby, it's cold outside.
I can't find anything. It's dark. I'm sorry. That's just like, when we think about pop culture and what we've done for years and years, and then you pick on this? This is what causes controversy.
Bring out the gimp. Baby, it's cold outside.
I think this is completely contrived.
Yeah, I do too. I've got a samurai sword that's sharp. I really don't want you to go. Get Bruce Willis. He's in the know. I just think it's of all the things we pick up, really, go look at 30 years of pop culture. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Pick on something that's legit. Pick on something that's really legit. You know what I mean? And by the way, the guys that I'm worried about are the guys that are doing it in real life that are out there. Not a song where it's just, and it was a different time. And sometimes I think you just overreact. And Maddie said it, and she's young, and, you know,
22.
I don't want to get in more trouble. If I keep talking about it, I'd rather just do the fake.
I think you have a similar take, and I think realistically you can't have this conversation on multiple media outlets without people asking for your jobs. If you're not just like, oh yeah, it's great, the song's updated, it should be updated.
It's such a double standard in our world right now. There's so much stuff being said and going on.
I think there are more important issues to deal with in this song.
I think there are too. And come down here and live in the seat of white anger in America I do. And hear what's going on with the misogyny and with the racism and all that. That's just quietly tolerated.
The one thing that
it'll drive you nuts.
It won't happen in Florida, Mike. It won't happen in Florida because it's not cold down there.
Wonder if they still play it. I never thought about that. Yeah.
It might be your turn.
Baby, it's cold outside.
This orange juice burns.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I'm really sorry. That's it.
Don't be sorry.
We've reached the end of this discussion.
We're here to entertain.
Oscar's folding his arms. Let's take a break.
We're done talking.
Yeah, well, he's the wrong. Rob's the wrong governor to play off of.
I know, but it's your fun. We'll take a break and we'll come back with the audio.
Better singer
right
than
here.
You, though. So
that's
you need
very true.
Me.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
The Mike O'Mara Show.
Amy. Hi, I'm Ina Garten. My favorite podcast, The Mike O'Mara Show, is incredibly funny. But sometimes when I want to listen, my hands are full. Literally. It's not easy to download a podcast with a fistful of roasted eggplant spread covered with a reduced garlic aioli. Or if you're 10 little piggies or cradling a standing rib roast with a crispy Gruyere Yorkshire pudding. That's why when I'm in the Barefoot Contessa kitchens, I rely on Alexa. How easy is that? All I have to say is, hey Alexa, play The Mike O'Mara Show. And the most recent episode plays right away. How easy is that? Even Jeffrey can do it. And I actually really hate him. In fact, we really hate each other. It's like being married to a hobbit. How tragic is that? TMOS and Alexa, they go together like little thin slices of salami and caperberry. Now back to my custard.
Thank you, Ina. It sure is cold in our town, downtown Washington town.
Yes.
Snow flurries, bracing winds. and yet somehow still humid. DC's the greatest. How will you stay warm? Scarf? Wool hat? Will you stick your hands in a muff? You don't need that. You've got the red-hot comedy of the TMOS bonus show. 60 sensational minutes that will warm your funny bone from within. The bonus show is a commercial-free, no-holds-barred sixth episode of TMOS and features Mike, Oscar, Rob, Maddie, and Bill Kamol. I'm sorry, Pony.
Oh, that's right.
Just click the banner on our website, and you'll get access to all of our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. It's your passport to the passport. The TMOS bonus show brought to you by the Sands Hotel and Casino. When in fabulous Las Vegas, make sure you stay at the Sands, a place in the sun. Popular with mobsters, don't miss the Copa Room, the home to the most beautiful girls in the world. Jack and Trotter welcomes you to the Sands, where Danny Thomas had to cancel tonight thanks to laryngitis, and because the hotel was demolished in 1996 and replaced by the Venetian. The Sands, now you can pick your money away at Binion's. Thank you very much, Little Vegas, for you. And let's open up the audio vault for today. This is Wednesday, November 13, 2019. Rob Spiewer.
You learn things. I didn't know that the Venetian is where the Sands was. That was news to me. Sands was a neat, neat hotel back in the day. The first Sands. Classy one. Mike, you think you've had a bad day.
Okay.
A lady was approached by a homeless man, and she was in Los Angeles, and he dumped a bucket of feces on her head.
He's not
right in the head, obviously.
All right.
She claims that she's now suffering PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like a firsthand description of it? I know you would.
A bucket of his diarrhea. It was liquid, hot liquid. I was soaked, and I couldn't see. It was coming off of my eyelashes. It's something I won't ever forget. It was disgusting. It was awful. And it changed my life. He doesn't need jail time. He needs mental health care. I have empathy for him because he needs help.
Oh, well, so, that's a different
take. I'm in agreement. I'm totally, it changed your life. That would change mine. It's horrible.
Yeah, but she really didn't need mascara after that, which is good.
Rob.
I know, Mike, come on. Pony, why do you write those jokes? Gross. It's horrible.
I love these jokes.
Okay, Pony, stay with me because we have a theme here. Do you know what's popular in South Africa right now?
What?
I'll give you a hint. It's a varietal of gin. Now, you know, gin is essentially just vodka with flavors added, usually aromatic things.
Yeah, botanicals.
What they've done is they've infused the gin
with... It speaks.
With
feces.
Yes, elephant feces. You see the switch that says turn the mic off? Hit that one. Where has he been for 2 weeks?
He shows
up. Yeah, someone put a quarter in him. All right, so they've infused gin with elephant poop.
The elephants are an amazing creature. They have such a varied diet of fruits and barks and leaves and flowers, and yet they digest so little of it. So they only digest about 30% of what they eat. And as a consequence, in the elephant dung, you get the most amazing variety of these botanicals.
I
was joking.
No, it is elephant poop, yeah.
Oh.
So they make booze out of elephant poo?
They infuse it. It's one of their flavors. Yes.
Boy, this is a poo-laden audio vault. Ew.
Okay, let's change the tone. And maybe, Pony, you can stop talking over the tapes. Can we try that?
Absolutely.
That'll be a new policy that we try.
Please.
All right, good. NBC took a page from the CBS playbook and fired everybody from Days of Our Lives yesterday.
Very
popular, like decades-long running soap opera.
The longest-running entertainment show on NBC.
No!
Like sands through the hourglass.
Staple.
So are the Days of Our Lives.
Where are the Brady's going to move to?
Now, the thing I didn't know is they shoot so far in advance, it's still going to air for over a month. Even though everybody got cut loose yesterday. Damn. I thought they turned it like in one day.
Who are some of the notables on that show? Is there anybody famous on that show?
We were always, Mike, I hate to bring this up.
All My Children.
We were always ABC guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, we watched All My Children. And
Days
we watched,
of Our Lives
and what was on One Life to Live with Asa
One
Buchanan.
One Life to Live and All My Children. Those were
the good ones. I liked those.
Right. And which one had Asa Buchanan?
Yeah, that was One Life to Live.
One Life to Live. Okay.
Yes. So that was, but of
Did
course.
Say why?
If you go, I think just money. It's not making money anymore. And to think the problem with soap operas, huge casts.
Yeah. Wow. I thought it was actually a cheaper production, and that's why they would make soap operas.
Well, they were in the day cheap.
But they're cheaper now. It's cheaper now to put a reality show or a talk show on.
Put on Judd Show.
Wow.
Get yourself.
What about the Real Housewife? Is it Eileen Davidson? Is that her name?
Yeah, one of the housewives was on Days of Our Lives.
Mm-hmm, that makes sense.
Days of Our Lives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
But I would like, you know, thank God we still have Asa. Mike, we'll always have Asa.
Asa Buchanan. Thank
now, how about this? People, every time I've heard of someone going on a whale watching trip, it's a failure because they don't see whales. And then right. they say, well, we'll give you a coupon. You can come back. But the problem is you're at a destination. You're not going to do it again. So they get their money. How about this guy actually saw whales, had an underwater camera that was able to lower into the water and caught humpback whales vocalizing. To me, this is really cool. And then they went on to remake the Fabulous Baker Boys.
I don't.
Can you play that one more time?
I want to hear. Don't they sound like farts?
They do. Yeah, they do. They do.
Okay. Let me see. By the way, if you happen to be sitting next to Rob Spiewak on the way to Las Vegas on the flight, you'll hear the same sounds.
Yeah, it's a very early flight. My apologies.
That would have been a funnier joke if he hadn't said, doesn't that sound like farts?
I'll mute my mic, Mike.
You and Pony both.
Yes. Everybody, that's okay. You didn't know that was coming. I only got one rule. It's my stuff that I don't want to interrupt.
So let us close with this, Mike. People need to stop going out into tornadoes. I know it's very exciting. I know it's fun.
Boy. Yeah.
You're in Texas. You see a tornado coming. It's exciting. Check out this guy doing on the spot news report for himself, I guess, of a tornado in his front yard.
There is a freaking tornado out. Oh, my God. Ah! Oh, my God. There goes the trampoline.
Of course they have a trampoline. Probably without sides on it.
Yeah, classic old school trampoline.
That's the trampoline. One big more, in those communities.
One more time.
There is a freaking tornado out. Oh, my God. Ah! Oh, my God. There goes the trampoline.
That's your magic audio vault. There goes the trampoline. Have a
what
good Wednesday.
What type of households enjoy trampoline activity? Yes, thank you. They have a trampoline show, and then they go in and eat their chocolate pie. Very good. Hey, we're on the way to Las Vegas,
yes!
baby.
Go!
We'll see you Friday night and Saturday night, and in between, lots of times. We're looking forward to it. Rob and Oscar and Mike and Maddie and Pony, we're all going to be out there. Todd Moore, unfortunately, was unable to make the trip because he's in the process of saying goodbye to Virginia, I guess. I don't know. You know better than I do.
Yes.
I think he's in Florida.
Yeah. He flew down to make an offer on a home.
Oh, very good. All right. So, well, Todd, if you change your mind, there's still a chance. You've got that kind of money. Oh, you can take a private charter.
If That's he moves it. In, let's all chip in and get him a trampoline.
Excited. There it goes. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show was made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeOmeraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
There is a freaking tornado out. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, there goes the trampoline.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I'm afraid we have a bad image, sir. Market research shows people see you as something of an ogre.
You ought to club them and eat their bones.
If you want to throw down in fisticuffs, fine. I've got Jack Johnson and Tom O'Leary waiting for you right here.
Bow to your sensei. Bow to your sensei!